May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Text for consideration today is recorded for us in the book of Mark, chapter 1. We hear these words. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." God's word is truth. Amen. John the Baptist was completely dedicated to the call he received from the Lord. He was a man who knew his calling to prepare the way for the Lord in the hearts of mankind. And if people had no room for a Savior in their heart, well, then John made room. He made the law of God plain to all. He showed that all have fallen short of the glory of the Lord, and that was not a good thing. He was a black and white preacher, and what I mean by that is the law was not watered down, nor was the gospel watered down either. His desire? Repentance. A turning around. Instead of following the desires of the sinful nature which lead to eternal death, his desire was for people to turn and follow the good shepherd to the green pastures of eternal life. And thousands of people flocked to him out in the wilderness to confess their sins, to be washed clean of their iniquities through the waters of baptism. He was fearless. And he didn't hand out flattery. He addressed King Herod for divorcing his wife and stealing his brother's wife, just happened to be his niece. Herod didn't appreciate the discussion. But John kept on addressing Herod, desiring that he repent, but Herod threw him in prison instead. Yet the gospel must continue. It does. You see, on the heels of that, Jesus came into the area of King Herod and preached the same message that John the Baptist did. Repent and believe in the gospel. It's the same message that got John thrown into prison. But Jesus picks it up and he runs with it. It reminds me of the 4x100-meter relay. John the Baptist hands off the baton of the gospel to Jesus. Jesus continues with the gospel, and he calls his disciples to run alongside of him and to grab the baton after he ascends into heaven. And we are called to run alongside of the disciples before us and to grab the baton of the gospel and run with it. Is there purpose in all of this? As a disciple of Jesus, I mean, this is why you are here this morning listening to his words. You must ask yourself this question. Is there a purpose to it? Is it worth it? And I don't want to shake your faith today. I want you to run with the gospel in hand. By this time in Jesus' ministry, he had a few miracles under his belt. He was preaching. People knew him. In Luke 5, which time-wise happens just before our text, Jesus was sitting on Simon's boat, set out in water a little bit, and preaching to the people on shore. And Simon and the crew, they didn't have anything else to do because, I mean, they didn't catch anything the whole night. Might as well let the preacher use a boat as a pulpit. Why not? At least it gets something done, gets used somehow. Afterwards, Jesus tells them to go out and catch fish. And they caught so much that the boats began to sink, that the nets began to stretch in ways that would probably break them. You see, it's on the heels of this that Jesus walks over to these fishermen who are mending those nets that almost broke and tells them that there are bigger things than fish to catch. Mending nets. Just the daily chores of life, just a job. And I don't know if these people could see beyond the daily struggles of life. I don't know if they could see the bigger picture. Too often one seems to be mending nets and just going through the process of life, but tend to miss out on the bigger picture that God has in store for us. And it's so easy to do. do you see yourself just mending nets, living to make it to tomorrow and nothing more? Jesus gives these men purpose, and that purpose is the salvation of souls. And what was the response? Immediately, they accepted that call to be a soul catcher. Jesus calls you to follow him. He calls you to be a disciple. To be a disciple means that we believe what Jesus speaks. Repent and believe in the gospel. And the sinful nature that you and I have doesn't repent. I mean, to repent, that means that we've done wrong, and the sinful nature doesn't think that anything is wrong. I'm not going to speak to your sinful nature. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to speak to your spirit, to your will. And this is what I say. Follow the sinful nature no longer. Let the new creation you are in Christ follow Christ. You follow Christ. And now what does this mean? It means that we repent of our iniquities. It means that we turn away from sin. We take it out to the curb and we don't let it in our soul any longer. Learn to control your own body and your thoughts in a way that is holy and honorable. For God did not call us to be impure, but he called us instead to be pure and to live for him. Let us heed this call of Jesus and repent. And now believe in the gospel. Jesus releases us from the debt of sin, which he has paid for in full on the cross. That knowledge is so very important to our existence as disciples of Jesus. May it never leave us. And Jesus leads us to heaven and he welcomes us there. You see, there is the purpose. We believe that Jesus is the Christ and that by believing we have life in his name. Christ lives in us by faith. That new creation is strengthened through the word and in the Lord's Supper. The new creation seeks to serve God with all that you are and all that you do. And when we think about it, just to believe in Jesus for our salvation, that gives us purpose to praise him. But the blessings of our salvation continue. God equips us to serve him. God calls us to more. He calls us to be soul catchers. You are heaven bound. Bring others with you. I know. You might be thinking that you're not going to be going to State Street on Madison or in Madison. And if you did, not too many people would listen anyway. Granted, you know, the way Jesus called these men to be soul catchers was special. And yes, they would preach to people anywhere, and following him meant leaving everything behind. As Jesus calls us to be soul catchers, well, we share Jesus where we are. And yes, that might mean leaving a few things behind, like anything belonging to the sinful nature. And other things too. When you gauge in your life as far as being a disciple, are there things that you've had to leave behind? Jesus calls us to be soul catchers. It sounds a lot more fun than mending nets or mending shirts for the family or mending friendships that have turned sour or taking care of a spouse who is ill. But God is calling you to catch souls through everything you do, including through the mending. And there is the purpose. And that purpose is to draw people to the gospel, to catch souls from falling away, to build people up in the faith. You know, God has placed you in such a specific spot for such a time as this, to use the gifts God gave you in a unique way to share Jesus and catch souls for the Savior. How does this all work out? Well, John the Baptist was beheaded. Yet he is in heaven for all eternity, and his ministry touched the lives of countless others. Jesus died on a cross, but he rose again. He is the hope of our salvation. He is our righteousness. And he rules over all things. The apostles, except for Judas Iscariot, according to tradition, all died of martyrdom, of witnessing for Christ. Except for the apostle John, who died from old age, exiled to this little island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. But they too are in heaven. And their message continues to reach billions today. Well, what about you and me? When we share the gospel, well, earthly speaking, it probably won't be like you just won on The Price is Right. Sometimes, yes. And treasure those moments. But sometimes, no. But to catch up just one soul for salvation, there's purpose in that like no other, and it has effects that last into eternity. And Jesus, he calls us to repent, to believe, and to be soul catchers. Let's do that. Amen. Now may God's grace be with God's people. Amen.